Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, President Biden signs into law a generational investment in the country's infrastructure. That means north of $1 trillion for water pipes, rural broadband, the power grid, passenger and freight rail, and yes, roads and bridges. So now the conversation moves from politicking to implementing. And with us to talk about that is the Transportation Commissioner of Minnesota, Margaret Anderson Kelleher. She's a Democrat. Commissioner, welcome.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me today.
Minnesota stands to receive nearly $7 billion here after the money flows through the federal agencies and the states put up matching funds. Put this amount of money into context for Minnesotans. How might this change their lives?
Well, I think it is definitely the largest investment we have seen from the federal government in infrastructure in a very long time, and particularly with where it's focused on safety, climate, and equity. We have 11 federally recognized tribal governments in Minnesota. And so working with those tribal governments on their plans for this federal money that meets the goals that they have, which include things like job equity, as well as trying to mitigate climate change. We've seen heavier rains, warmer temperatures, both in winter and summer. So things like upgrading culvert size to be able to handle the rains that might come. But we're also looking at these issues around how do we produce less greenhouse gases? These are all things that we're working on.
I understand one of the pressing needs is a bridge that connects Duluth, Minnesota to Superior, Wisconsin. What does this bridge need, and will you have the resources as a result of this bill?
So it's called the Blatnik Bridge, and we're going through the process right now to determine whether it's a rehabilitation project or a complete rebuild. I can't say for sure that the IIJA bill is going to be able to totally take us out of the woods on funding this project. What we do know is the $300 million in the bill already for bridges. That's going to come directly to a state like Minnesota. And there's other funding in the bill that is going to be application-based for major bridges as well as very large projects. So I'm hopeful that a combination of state funds as well as federal funds can deliver this bridge in the next decade. But right now, it's a little early to see that. We do actually have another project up in the Duluth area that's the important lead-in to this project called the Twin Ports Interchange. It's not a safe section of highway for a lot of people. People tell us they don't really love driving it. So this project will improve the safety, the ability to also move freight off of the Port of Duluth into the rest of the state and the upper Midwest and beyond. We had to split that project into four chapters. And we've been doing chapter one and chapter two right now. We're going to be able to move that project completely back together and being able to deliver it over the next few years here. We believe that will be a high priority.
Yeah. Let's talk about rail. I understand there is a federal rail plan proposal to connect the Twin Cities to Chicago by high-speed rail. As you think about priorities, how important might this project be, and would there potentially be funding from this bill for that?
Yeah, so that's an exciting project. We call it the second train to Chicago because we do have the Empire Builder train that comes across the from the West Coast all the way across the Midwest down to Chicago. And that train runs once a day. And so it doesn't do a complete loop. So this will create a second train, which creates that daily loop. And that train will originate in St. Paul and go to Chicago. We actually believe that we have largely gotten that project underway, but it is very helpful to know that the historic investment in passenger rail can help us on that project. There's also a project called the Northern Lights Express, Minneapolis to Duluth. And we are interested in having that project move forward further.
given new technology, given the carbon footprints that we know about, where do you see funding in transit, in electric vehicle charging stations, in rail, that can actually innovate, that can change how people get around in Minnesota in 2030, 2040, 2050?
There's no doubt. We did a report a couple of years ago called Decarbonizing the Transportation Sector. There's sort of this whole category of future mobility that's probably, you know, 30 to 50 years down the road that will look very different, I think. And so that includes, you know, possibly electrification of small fleet flying taxis. It could include, you know, smaller and different autonomous vehicles. We have a project going right now in Rochester, Minnesota called the Med City Mover. So in Rochester, the Med City Mover will be in place for a year. It's a small, connected, automated electric vehicle. And it's really a research project to understand what are people's attitudes about this vehicle before they get in it, and then what's their experience like. And it's doing a loop from the Mayo Clinic to an important area where there's both groceries and food available for people. But I went down and wrote it recently with the mayor of Rochester, Kim Norton, and we're very excited about what we're going to learn there about the future.
That's Margaret Anderson Kelleher. She is Transportation Commissioner of the State of Minnesota. Commissioner, thanks for the time.
Thanks so much, Scott.